Hey everybody, it's Paul Scheer from How Did This Get Made? I wanted to let you know that we have a brand new website. It's hdtgminfo.com. You can find out everything that you need to know about How Did This Get Made on that site, where we're doing live shows, where to buy tickets, what the movies are. Everything and anything is there. And I want to let you know that we have shows coming up in New York and Denver and in some other places that we can't quite announce yet. So bookmark hdtgminfo.com. Hey everybody, big sale today over at tpublic.com. That's right, tpublic.com/stores/HDTGM. We have brand new shirts, including a brand new Jacob's Ladder How'd This Get Made shirt, plus a shirt inspired by today's very own podcast. Here's the deal, people. Today's show is brought to you by Squarespace. Oh yeah. I love that Squarespace. So good. Oh yeah, I get to showcase all my work and my blogs. Oh, and I publish content like a boss. That's right. So head to squarespace.com for a free trial. And when you're ready to launch, use the offer code BONKERS, that's B-O-N-K-E-R-S, to save 10% off your first purchase of a website or domain. What else do I have to say but this? Squarespace, do it, you dumb dummy. Today's show is also brought to you by our good old friends at Skin Condoms. Oh, Skin, they're so good. You know why? Because they're making your sex life way better. Why are they making your sex life way better? Because of something called polyisoprene. Oh, yeah. It's a skin feel material that makes everything feel like skin. I wear it on my actual skin. I don't even use them as condoms. I put them on my fingers and walk around and shake people's hands, and they are not grossed out at all. You know why? Because they feel just like skin. Plus, Skin Condoms are completely safe for anyone with a latex allergy. And you can use the code SKINFEEL15 for 15% off the Skin Selection 24-pack on Amazon. Did you hear what I said there? You can use the code SKINFEEL. That's SKYNFEEL15 for 15% off the Skin Selection 24-pack on Amazon. It's like a Jewish 8 Mile. In that, it's the story of an inner city cantor trying to make it in the hard world of soft rock. We saw the jazz singer, so you know that that means Lakayum.
Schwarzenegger grow a baby in his belly, rock a rhinestone vest while whipping Justin to Kelly, or maybe see a burlesque show with Nick Crow and take a boat with speed to hitting cruise control. J-Man, Big Paul in the beautiful June, gonna take you from the goob all the way to the room. Randy Gaines and Street Fighter help to blow off steam, just a sucker punch the odd life of Timothy Green. Sharknado to Birdemic, how we staying alive, they call it in the badass and he's on the line, cranking 88 minutes cause they cool as ice, cause a bad Jim Varney looking kind of nice. Paul and June getting literal. Jason is getting laid. June is making sure all the monkey shots getting paid. They judge a bunch of movies while they're making the grade. Here's a real question for you. How did this get made?
Oh, people of Earth! And hello, people of the Now Hear This Podcast Festival! We are live in New York City. And we have a classic New York tale to talk about tonight. Neil Diamond's only starring role. Oh boy, where to begin? And I'm afraid that we'll never find the end. Luckily tonight I am joined by two amazing co-hosts to help me get through this all. Let me introduce them one at a time. Please welcome Jason Mantzoukas! Welcome. What's up, Jack? Welcome, Jason.
I am on record saying I do not like tall stools.
Don't like tall stools.
I don't like tall stools. That's why you turn now very far away from me.
That's why you turned down the part of Cliff in Cheers, right?
Yep. They said we want you to be. You're from Boston. We want you to do it. Nope. See, I don't like this. I don't like this. This is not enjoyable. This is emasculating.
You look like a baby that has been put in a high chair.
I'm not talking about the movie.
Jason, were you familiar with the fact that Neil Diamond had made a movie?
I was not. And I long for that period of time in my life. Those blissful 44 and a half years where I did not know this movie existed. Because now I am much the worse for it.
I unabashedly never knew about this movie. I now love it. And the thing that I'm most shocked at was a non-actor going up against Laurence Olivier.
Oh, yeah.
Which is a...
And
that's a
let's
tough
be
one.
Honest, Diamond's range is unstoppable.
And I would also say at this point, well, we'll get into it, but Laurence Olivier not bringing his A game.
Laurence Olivier?
Not bringing his A game.
You didn't think? You didn't think this matched his Hamlet? Definitive film Hamlet? Before Mel Gibson.
Always good.
Too soon.
Too soon.
Too soon. Really? We're gonna too soon, Mel Gibson? Ay, guys, Daddy's Home too.
When I did Daddy's Home, there were no Mel Gibsons in it.
You refused to do it, right?
Yeah, and that's why I was not asked back to be in the second. Please welcome to the stage my other co-host, the very talented, the very funny, June Diane Raphael! Woo! June, what's that sign say?
Yeah, see? It's no good. What's the sign say?
June is trying to mount the stool. It is not...
This.
All right, here we go.
Yeah.
She's almost to the top of Mount Stool.
You got
She's
this.
Almost there.
Yep.
All right, you're there. You're there.
I'm spotting you.
Welcome, June. As
Hi,
you came
Paul.
Out on stage, someone was waving a sign that said, I watched this fucking movie, bro. June, talk to me about your experience. Oh, Jason's trying to mount the stool, and he got him.
I'm going to need little pet steps for these stools. I do not care for this. I look weak.
June, were you a fan of Neil Diamond?
So, I do like Neil Diamond's voice. I have an affinity and an affection for him because he sang at my NYU graduation.
Wow.
And he wrote a song for it called... He wrote a song called Forever NYU.
Cool.
Forever NYU. And he read the lyrics, didn't memorize it, but that's okay. Read the lyrics off like a tattered piece of loose leaf with all
was
the sides
new,
like...
Was it new lyrics to an existing song or was it a brand new song?
Great question.
I feel
so
like Neil Diamond
was
is
forever,
getting...
I mean, don't they all sort of sound the same?
You're not wrong.
I feel like Neil Diamond probably does a lot of commencement speeches like, forever brown, forever... Harvard.
We're forever NYU.
Forever Seton Hall.
Coming in 4 years ago. Forever NYU.
And forever UCLA.
It was such a thrill to see a celeb at that time. It's still a thrill.
Sure.
But at that time, it was such a thrill to my heart to see a celeb so near me that I have an affection for him.
Definitely.
Am I a Neil Diamond fan? No. I mean, my bigger question of this movie, and I know we will get into it, but was that jazz?
A great question.
Maybe I don't know jazz.
We're going to bring out
we're going to get to the bottom of that
yes,
and
okay.
many more.
What is jazz will be figured out here tonight.
Guys, I don't want to spoil anything. Wynton Marsalis is in the house, though.
All right. We have a very special guest tonight. For those of you fans of podcasts, this guy has an amazing podcast called Beautiful and Anonymous here on the Earwolf Network. He is also the star of his very own show on True TV, which airs live on Thursday nights, called The Chris Gethard Show,
yes.
Which you gotta be watching. It's hilarious, it's amazing. Please welcome Chris Gethard! Woo! Welcome.
Woo!
Sit down over there.
Hi, thank you. Hello.
How's
I'm glad
stool?
They brought the high stools
How's
I asked
that
for. I said I wouldn't do this without a high stool.
I gotta say, stool not a problem for me. Yeah. Feels comfortable.
Like you took to it very naturally.
Yeah, there's not many things that I can fit right into perfectly, and this stool is one of them.
I think, Jason, you should commit to being back on it, or front. That's great, right there.
Right?
Perfect.
Chris.
Yeah.
Neil Diamond, only feature role.
Uh-huh.
What?
What was your takeaway? Your first reaction when we told you that we were doing the Jazz Singer, did you have like a, oh, or were you like, oh, Neil Diamond, this might be good. Where were you at?
Well, I here's where I was at. I was on vacation with my wife and a bunch of friends of ours. We rented a lake house in upstate New York. It was very nice.
Nice.
And yesterday was the first day that it was just my wife and I. Everyone else had left.
Perfect.
And my wife said to me, hey, do you want to go down to the lake, just the two of us? And I said, I can't.
Oh, no.
And she said, why? And I said, because I got to watch remake of the Jazz Singer starring Neil Diamond. And she was so upset.
And she was like, I want a divorce.
She was so upset.
But you know what? I think you made a real rookie mistake because it's a romantic movie.
Oh, yeah. Oh, yeah.
You guys could have really just sat together and enjoyed. I mean, this is. I mean,
the chemistry between him and Rivka? the women, yeah. And Molly, Rivka and Molly, it was like seeing two like negative particles, like just like. I've never seen bodies like repel from each other.
Yeah.
They didn't want to be together.
I do like how a major theme of the movie is that you can just be awful to the women of your life and suffer zero consequences for it. Major theme.
By the way, that's my main complaint about this man.
And be Neil Diamond in the midst of it all.
Yeah.
Well, but he has no... We're going to get into it.
Oh, yeah.
But he has no... He really wants success simply for the sake of it. I never believed watching that trailer that he really had anything to say about life to put to his music. He had no drive other than ambition.
Yeah.
Things came to him so easily.
Well, no, yes. By the way, they didn't. Things came to him on the backs of African-American men and white women. I mean, that's how he... got success in this movie, not through his own merit. He reaches one, okay, I'll calm down, but he one stumbling block and he just leaves LA and...
For like a long time.
A long year?
He leaves LA the amount of time it takes Neil Diamond to grow a beard, which is, as we know scientifically speaking, one year.
My least favorite thing about that part, maybe my least favorite thing in this movie, is when he disappears and the way they choose to show it is he gets off a Greyhound with the word Laredo on it. That feels to me like a thing that in the room they'd be like, it should be something like this, but you can't. He can't get off a fucking Greyhound in Laredo, Texas and grow a beard.
Kaboom. Kaboom.
And
there we
start
are.
Start wearing Did a it. Cowboy hat.
Oh. Yeah.
I mean, and this is, like, arguably...
Can I ask a question?
Yes.
And I mean this with all due respect.
Please
in
be respectful.
In this movie, how old is Neil Diamond?
Okay.
Because this movie has the structure of a... Saturday Night Fever, or a young person needs to break out from the chains of their overbearing parents and succeed in their own thing and whatnot, except he appears to be close to 50.
Again, with all due,
it is written
for a much younger man.
He's an old man, and he's living with his wife Rivka in his dad's
home. I was uncomfortable with that.
And they want to fuck? They want to fuck at home? I'm like, you're old. Go home to your own home, you weirdo.
I will also add that Neil Diamond does give a performance that is equal to someone who is a little groggy from sleeping medication.
Yes.
It's
There are no levels. There are no levels whether he's furious.
There's levels, but they're never appropriate.
Yeah.
There was a time in the film where Neil had to get mad, and he couldn't nail... getting mad, and the director took the band aside. This is on the DVD commentary track. Took the band aside and said, play a Barry Manilow song. And they played this Barry Manilow song. He went nuts. Like, started throwing stuff. And then they go, like, roll camera! And that was the scene where he leaves his wife for arguably 10 to 11 months. But that was...
When he's, like, mad because and storms out of the studio.
Yes.
And then drives his Mustang into traffic and takes off.
Yes. Which is the end of the movie. There's so much to talk about.
That's not the end of the movie.
Well, no.
That's like... That's so much movie left.
There's three full 10-minute long Neil Diamond singing sequences between that and the end of the movie.
It was back in the day when you could play Love on the Rocks 5 to 6 times in one movie. Like, we get it. Love on the Rocks. Let's move on. Like,
yeah.
I will say, it's amazing we've been talking this long, and we have touched on the sexism and the racism. It is fascinating and amazing that we could talk this long about this movie without the phrase anti-Semitic even being said yet. Because that's the most prominent one, right?
Well, yes. I mean, Laurence Olivier gives a performance that is...
A Jewish minstrel show?
Yeah.
Well, because there is a real minstrel show in this movie.
What?
I said there is a real minstrel performance in this movie.
Yes.
Which is...
Oh,
guys. Well,
very disturbing.
Laurence Olivier puts on a yarmulke and talks like Andy Kaufman's Foreign Man character. That's his whole thing.
Let's first attack this, and then we'll get into the real minstrel show, which is... This is just to just give you an idea of Laurence Olivier... his choices.
Oh, how I would love to dance with your mother. Oh, she was so full of life.
Papa, I gotta talk to you about something.
He's so old.
They are the same age.
Playing in the streets, and then came the bullets, and the bomb, and the terrorists.
Papa, come on, Papa. This is a time for celebration. Be happy.
Wait, can you rewind that?
Yeah.
I just want everybody to count out loud every time he says yeah at the very end. Just at the very end.
Yeah.
Oh, it doesn't matter. Screw it. Fuck it. Abandon it.
Papa.
I counted 8 to 12.
Oh, yeah.
How I would love...
His performance is as if he learned his character from someone who hated Jewish people.
From Nazi propaganda movies.
I have to say, I mean, I don't know, and I'm going to reflect on this, and I'm reflecting on it right now and my own biases, but I didn't feel that way. I was actually quite moved by the Hava Nagila scene, and I wanted to be in that room. I know, right here in this scene. But I this is the thing about the movie. I was siding with Laurence Olivier's character so much more than, you know, Neil Diamond's, and
so
wanted
in the
him
crowd
to.
Want, yeah, so you didn't want him to go and have success.
I wanted him to connect to his religion and have some respect for where his dad was coming from. And I felt like he abandoned it so... He also just... he didn't seem to be connected to his faith. There's nothing wrong with that, of course, but...
Well, he's living a lie was the issue. You can't be the assistant cantor...
And a rock star.
Yeah.
And a jazz singer?
The thing is, he's never really held to account for the fact that... Because here's the thing. Listen... You are a cantor, but you have dreams and aspirations to be a, you know, a whatever, you know, a jazz rock singer, whatever nonsense this is. But be, like, honorable about it. Don't be like, I got to go to L.A. for 2 weeks and then never go home.
Never
and
go
then
home.
Be like, what am I to do?
And also never struggle with... I think the better movie would have been seeing him actually struggle with his love of Judaism and his father and his faith.
Or I would go to... Or the other is make him act so reprehensible that we feel the weight of the impact that he's having on Rivka and his father and so forth. But I feel like the movie wants you to root for Neil Diamond.
Because
it's
he was
absurd.
Born into it. He had no choice... 5 generations of his parents, they had to be cantors. He was forced into it, and he's like, I need to break free. I have music in my heart.
I'm
and
55
my penis
years
doesn't
old.
Work for Rivka.
If not now, then when?
He By the did way, it. Where is Rivka? What happened to her?
Yeah.
Rivka goes with the flow. She's like, you want to make love? He's like, oh, not now. And yeah. She's like, all right.
And then Rivka shows up in L.A. and he's like, eh. I don't know. I imagine a world in which Rivka stayed in L.A.
Oh, I love that.
I also, were you guys confused to...
Yes.
What, like, who Rivka was? Because in the beginning, he's like, Rivka and I are going to the library. And his dad's like, oh, your wife is going to be so bored. And then he sees Rivka and he's like, hey, cover for me. So I'm like, oh, they may be dating or she's a girl in the synagogue. It didn't seem like they were married to say, cover for me to my father.
Well, and yeah, because he's a 55-year-old man, not a teenager, as he should be. You know, like, this movie should be starring, like, a 22-year-old guy.
Yes.
But it's starring, instead, old Neil Diamond.
And it's also, like, he's so old that then you find yourself asking questions of, like, why haven't they had children? Like, what's going on?
How long have they been married? Also, what's the age difference between Neil and Rivka? Because it's
Well, they
a
say
lot.
They grew up together, so
they
that's...
Didn't. They didn't. He is also...
But his indifference, that's the thing about his reaction to Rivka. It's not even that he doesn't like her or that he's torn by, you know, his love for her. He's indifferent to
As
her.
He is to Molly.
I know.
He
and it is
the least sexual, what is he supposed to be, like a playboy or so? He's supposed to be irresistible to these women, I feel like.
Women like a sleepy eyed soft. He like just makes dead eye contact with them. Just stares them down until submission. And even their sex scene, which we will get into eventually, was so slow. And
I have so much to say about it and how little kissing there was.
But Molly, I mean,
it's all crossfades and no kissing.
We should talk about the thing that happened in the first 7 minutes, which is he's performing cantor services. His buddy, Bubba, comes and is like, hey, man, we got to go. They go out to this club where they're going. This is where I'm unclear. He wrote music for them or he was going to perform with them? Because it seemed like a surprise.
He writes music for them, but one of their guys is absent, so he's going to sit in for him.
Well, yes, but when he was first called to go there, he was just going to watch?
No, I think they were calling him to be like, hey, the other guy's out, we need you, because they say agents are in the audience, and it's like an audition or something.
So I get it. First thing that kind of jumped out at me was Neil Diamond stopping dead in his track and going, whoa, that's a black club.
Yes.
Like, I don't go in there. And then I was like, that's an odd choice. And then everyone in the black club's like, whoa, you're white. Get out. So that's odd. And then this happens.
You're welcome.
Hey, blood, plasma, whatever you want me to call you, brother. If you don't get your 3-4 black asses out here, I'm going to have to put on another act. But please tell me that ain't a white man. Please. 1, 2, 3, 4,
Neil Diamond is on stage in full blackface and an Afro wig.
He does look a little bit like this is like, he looks like Greg Brady here in blackface. Right?
Like Greg Brady in an episode of where he got like an ultra tan or
Greg
something.
Greg Brady in blackface.
See, this is the other thing that I will say.
Neil Diamond.
This is the best he looks in the movie. So there's that.
By the way, you're right.
He looks great.
I know.
It's also the youngest he looks in the movie.
It's the youngest he looks. It's the most alive he looks. Like, I can see his eyes.
You would have preferred the movie where he was in blackface the entire time.
I couldn't believe what I was watching.
Politically, no, but like in terms of the movie, yes.
Hey, everybody, we have to take a brief break in the show to salute our sponsors like Crunchy. Crunchyroll. Do you know what Crunchyroll is? It's only your destination to stream 25,000 episodes and 15,000 hours of the latest and greatest anime series. Let me tell you something. I just finished watching 24,000 episodes on Crunchyroll, and I'm going to tell you, they are the real deal, okay? Have I seen or talked to anyone in my life? No. I'm just busy binging multiple thousands of hours of episodes and TV content because I am in the mix. I know what's going on. That's why when you say to me, hey, Paul, did you watch the new Naruto or Dragon Ball Super or One Piece or Attack on the Titan? I go, fuck yeah, I did. And they're all available in one convenient location. Here's the deal. Crunchyroll now offers offline viewing, which means you can take it with you to go, okay? And you can watch your shows on the go without an internet connection. I love that. That's, by the way, if you are not doing that and you are a streaming company, go fuck yourself. Seriously, that is the worst. Plus, this month, Crunchyroll will be adding Mubi and Curiosity Stream to their platform as channel partners. Now, you know about Mubi, right? It's a constantly rotating catalog of 30 indie movies every single month. So there's always something new to discover. That's a movie a day every month. Plus, Curiosity Stream houses 1,000 documentaries about history, tech, and nature. People, you never have to leave your house again. Have you seen this documentary they have on there? It's called Ancient Earth or Stephen Hawking's Favorite Places. Both A+. That's what I'm going to say. A+ to Stephen Hawking's docs. I'm going to tell you this. I also love that Crunchyroll has stuff that's not anime. Stuff like Harmontown. Oh, yeah. Harmontown is on it. They can continue to grow and change. This is the streaming service for you. I'm going to go out and say it's a streaming service for millennials. So for a limited time, get a 30-day free trial of VRV Premium, which gives you ad-free access to 12 channels such as Crunchyroll, Rooster Teeth, Funimation, Cartoon Hangover, and Curiosity Stream. Just go to vrv.co/go premium. Is that a lot of words? Yeah, it is. Go to vrv.co/go premium to check out all these amazing things. I love Rooster Teeth too. They are great. Their content they put up there is consistently really good. Cartoon Hangover, Curiosity Stream, all on there at vrv.co/go premium. Oh God, so many things. Let me tell you about HelloFresh. Okay, HelloFresh is a meal kit that delivers service that shops, plans, and delivers all your favorite step-by-step recipes and pre-measured ingredients so you can just cook, eat, and enjoy. Paul, I know you're saying this sounds too good to be true, but let me tell you, they are doing it up. They are taking the battle of shopping and planning and recipe making and putting it in right in front of you so you can actually feel accomplished. We are asked to do so many things that can never be accomplished in our lives. And you know what? HelloFresh makes it easy for us to do one task a day that we can actually feel good about ourselves. We're not just kissing up to the boss or taking shit from someone above us. No. At HelloFresh, you make something, you eat something. You're like a hunter and a gatherer. It's amazing. Plus, all the food and ingredients are delivered right to your door in recyclable, insulated packaging, and they come in pre-measured, handy, labeled meal kits so you know which ingredients go with which recipe. Plus, they got the classic plan, they got the veggie plan, they got the family plan, which is a great plan if you have family. If you don't have family, then it's just like you're probably eating too much. Better yet, you can choose a delivery date that works for your schedule and even pause your account for weeks at a time. Like right now, I'm out of country. Did I pause my account? Fuck yeah, I did. All right, here's the deal, people. You can feel confident when cooking HelloFresh with the simple recipes outlined on a pictured card that has step-by-step instructions, things that you never would have thought to cook on your own and enjoy eating outside the comfort of your own. Like, you know, like, look, you're like, oh yeah, I know how to make grilled cheese and quesadillas. I got all that. This is going to take you out of the comfort zone. And when you look forward to this HelloFresh box, you get excited because you know that you're going to become a better person, all right? Every time you're cooking HelloFresh, your dinner is that much easier and that much more delicious. So, people, what else do I have to tell you but this? Get $30 off your first week of HelloFresh. You heard me, 30 bones. Just go to HelloFresh.com/bonkers, B-O-N-K-E-R-S, and enter the promo code bonkers, B-O-N-K-E-R-S, 30. That's bonkers 30 is the promo code when you go to HelloFresh.com/bonkers.
Just so you know, this is not totally as potentially wrong as it appears. It's wrong-headed in the sense that it was a quote-unquote tribute to Al Jolson, who did blackface in the original Jazz Singer. I guess no one told them, like, we're past that now. and that's not acceptable.
I like them pitching the movie and Neil being like, well, what about the blackface?
Well, I think, well, honestly, I mean, it's...
We weren't going to put that in. That seems like from a past. Gotta have that blackface.
The history of minstrel performance is so deeply disturbing and has had horrible lasting effects. This is played for comedy, and it's so very wrong.
Oh,
and
yeah.
Also, then, the black men who are on stage with him, I mean, their trajectory throughout the rest of the movie, he never brings them along with him to succeed.
There's a point where he's playing with, it looks like the biggest orchestra of all time.
Why weren't
and
they
the black
up on
guys
stage?
Are backstage like, yeah, yeah. I'm like, wait, why aren't you, like, you could definitely get on stage. You have like a 40-piece band out there.
I think more offensive to the black community than the blackface in this scene is the suggestion that a room full of hip African-Americans in late 70s New York would enjoy the music that was played for them. They
yeah,
flip
like,
out
not...
to a degree
yeah,
that is
hear.
Crazy. And this is an era when hip-hop had exploded, CBGB's was swinging, and they lose their minds over this Neil Diamond song, and it broke my heart.
Did they get a taste of what that song was like?
Time if you want it right. Ooh, takes a lot of time and believing, babe. Ooh, ooh, takes a lot of loving to make it good. Ooh, it takes a lot of loving, believing, babe. Ooh, ooh, staying it again so it's understood.
Club is going insane.
Yeah.
And
you,
then, is it? It's Ernie Hudson.
Ernie
isn't
Hudson.
It?
It's,
I
Ernie
couldn't
Hudson.
Place it forever.
It Ernie
yeah.
Hudson
couldn't place
is
it
in the
forever.
Audience. He goes, "Hey, he's white."
Look
and
at
then
his hand.
There's a riot.
Well, because Diamond made the classic mistake. If you're doing blackface, do black hands.
Yeah.
Don't forget your black
he
hands.
Seemingly, I don't know who the makeup artist was, but he seemingly transformed in the matter of seconds.
Oh,
so
yeah.
I applaud the fact that he was able to get this costume on as quickly as he did. If there was bound to be some mistakes.
Oof. But this scene alone is worthy of like a dissertation.
But it does.
I mean,
bring
when
me,
was this movie made? It really was shocking to see it played just simply for the reveal.
Yeah.
What? Yeah.
My
what
mouth
year is this?
Drop. I was like, what? What? Like, what year?
What
is
year
it?
Is it?
1980.
Wow. Okay.
1980.
Yeah.
So yeah, this is
that
yeah.
makes sense because Neil Diamond was born in 1946. honest to God, how old is Neil Diamond at this point? What?
30.
39, 40? That's absurd.
Wow. But he's a very old 39.
That's an aggressive move against us. To cast a 39-year-old in this story is bonkers.
You're right. It should have been like a 18-year-old, 20-year-old.
25-year-old, like, struggling, doesn't know how to, like, decide on which way his life choices are going to take him, blah, blah,
yeah.
blah.
And I mean, also, he's had a decade to figure this shit out.
He's 40.
Yeah.
He's had more than that. He's 40.
Yeah, you're right. He's had 2 decades
Rivka
to figure this out.
Rivka has every right to be shocked at what he's doing because she married a man who has spent 20 years as a cantor. And now he's like, JK, I write crap songs and everybody loves them.
Well, this brings me to the biggest, I mean, there's a lot of plot holes, but the one that I'm most confused by is that his band goes out to L.A., and then he gets a phone call that a musician, this big musician, heard his demo, his soft rock demo, and wants this song. Now, when we were revealed to who this person is, he's like a Billy Idol-esque kind of singer, and I don't understand why Billy Idol would need these four men as backup singers. It seemed like these guys were looking for work in the wrong... Like, Billy Idol didn't have, like, backup singers, did he? I mean, it's like rock and roll
Well,
music.
By the way, that's the problem. We never understand their motivations. Like, we are never led into what they want out of this. Their portrayal of them is so offensive because they bring him out there to help them get this job, and then he immediately gets them all fired, and then they celebrate him.
Yeah. Yeah, and then he does not help them much afterwards. Because then when he's got his own recording session, he basically chews them out and abandons them, and I'm certain they can't be being
he
paid after
he abandons everybody. He abandons his religion, his wife,
his father.
Friends, his father, his pregnant girlfriend, and every time he just wanders back into a room where one of them are, outside of his dad, every single one is like, oh, thank God.
It's the kind of story that is usually reserved for, like, a a wildly charismatic, unbridled talent.
Even then, they wouldn't get the scene
when it's still reprehensible.
When he leaves, and he doesn't know Molly's pregnant, but he leaves. He goes and fucking plays lounge songs in Texas for a year, grows a beard. Bubba shows up. He comes back, creepily watches her on the beach.
Yeah.
And she just turns around, and after a year of raising his child by herself, she's like, we're back, baby. Like, yeah. There's no consequence.
Oh, yes.
And
by the way,
there's not a word of consequence.
She's also changing the baby on the beach.
Seems like the worst place to do it.
I don't like it.
You're 10 feet from your house.
We've
changed babies on park benches. We've changed babies
but
everywhere.
But not if you wouldn't leave your house, walk 15 feet to change your baby on a park bench.
What?
You wouldn't change your baby. If I can see my house, I'm changing my baby in the house.
Yeah.
Because you feel like,
it's clean.
Why?
It's clean.
I got the diaper genie in there.
Guess
I got
what?
Stuff. I
Next
got my
thing
wipes.
You know, diapers full of sand. Who knows what's going on?
What I want to show, and this is a little bit. This is more.
I mean, listen, June, you have two kids, and I have zero.
But yeah. I think it's appropriate for us to have very strong opinions on this.
I think it's pretty.
I think what you're not understanding is that when you're changing diapers and living the life of someone who changes diapers, you're always changing diapers.
You are always changing diapers. So, I will say, though, I did think when she was on the beach, I was like, ooh, that's sandy. Like, didn't you have any thought that...
I was like, guys, I didn't think of it at all. I saw a single mom out there making a decision for herself, and I didn't fucking question it.
Wow.
It's true.
This is the moment that was really disturbing. It's more visual, so we can walk you through it. I'll mute it a little bit. So he sees the baby. He hugs the baby for a second, and then he...
Oh, this hold of the baby was so...
Now watch this. Watch how he treats the baby. The baby gets fucking squished. Baby's like, help. Help.
First time,
help.
First
help.
Time he's
help.
Met him. First time he has met his own child.
And the baby is literally getting like Star Wars trash compactored between Molly and Neil
Turn
Diamond.
Turn down all the trash compactors at this...
And by the way, you know filming, I get very nervous watching babies on screen. I don't think they belong there. I worry about them immediately when I see them. And this baby was screaming.
What?
And you just know
it. Something, remind a little bit, watch how far, the baby falls at one point.
Well, yeah.
In his arm, it falls like a solid 6 inches. Watch
a lot
this.
Of the times you cradle a baby by the back and butt. He just doesn't. He just lets it go under the arm.
If you told
and here
me,
we go.
If you
and
told me he'd never held a baby before
and
in his life.
Drop.
Watch this. I can't watch even watch this.
Watch this. God
squeeze.
Damn it. The squish.
Squeeze. Baby squeeze. Help. Baby can't breathe. Ugh. Baby can't breathe.
What are the odds that they had to use that take because he dropped the baby every other take? Yeah.
Like, this is the best one.
Or this was the first
this
one.
This is what we landed
were
on?
Like, no, we're done. We're done here.
Yeah.
We're shutting it down. You told me he'd handled a baby before, and he obviously has never. And Neil's like, what? What?
And can we break
the
down?
Baby.
Can we really break down? Like, so the only reason he left this gigantic recording career and a hit album is because his dad said, you're dead to me? Like that was basically it. So his year-long sojourn would last forever unless his buddy Bubba didn't come, right? Like, he wasn't like, and now I'm done. Like, he's just like, I'll keep on playing here in Laredo for the rest of my life? Was that because he just felt like if he was dead to his father? Like, that's an odd choice, right? Like,
yeah, it was...
A situation he caused, and step by step, every step of the way, he understood what he was doing.
Yeah, and then
It's not like he did something that forced him into exile.
No.
You know, he was, yes, he was disowned by his father, but he was perfectly fine in L.A. with Molly, with his own recording career. It's not like, to me, I feel like the section of Anchorman is based on this, where he reads the Go Fuck Yourself San Diego,
yeah,
and then is like exiled and grows a beard and is like wandering around. That to me is this movie, which I suspect it is, but like, Ron Burgundy does something insane.
Yeah.
Like,
yes.
Neil Diamond does not.
This is not motivated.
Neil Diamond selfishly is like, I'm out of here.
We've been very nice about something. And who am I to criticize anybody's acting performance? I was the star of Big Lake. I'm not throwing stones.
I was a featured guest star on Big Lake. I worked with you. I thought you did a great job.
I didn't do
it. Chris Gethard's still plugging Big Lake.
I'm just saying.
It's on the Comedy Central app.
Chris, plug her at the end.
Plugs her at the end. Listen, I'm just saying, we have not brought up Lucy Arnaz at all.
Oh. Yeah, Lucy Arnaz.
I felt bad. I felt bad.
I was watching her and I was like, wow, I see this is the daughter of Desi Arnaz and Lucille Ball. I see that. And I feel like she was doing the comedy of Desi Arnaz. Like she...
A more scathing indictment has never been uttered
and
from June
so
Diane Raphael.
It was so disappointing. I was like, a little more Lucille Ball and a little less Desi Arnaz. Yeah.
The best scenes she had were the ones where she was stalking that man in the car.
Yes.
Yes.
Over and over again, yes. She would show up in his car.
Yep.
Classic and carjacking.
With a demo tape in her pocket, positioned like a gun, and then, like, listen to this tape. And the guy's like, oh, he's good. But the scene that I think is, that shows the chemistry and shows the acting is the My Body or Pizza. Which
I don't want to watch this, Paul. That feels rude.
It's uncomfortable.
It feels mean.
I know how to get you to stay. I'll give you my body. Oh.
It's Desi.
Hello?
It's Desi.
Hello again. I just offered you my body.
I heard.
Dickhead. What a dick response.
Would you rather have a pizza? Is schmuck a Jewish word?
Yes, schmuck is a Jewish word. Why?
No, if you go back tomorrow, I just wanted to be able to say something in Jewish to you.
I mean, keep in mind, I will say this, and I mean this only in response to what we're talking about. She's acting against Neil Diamond.
Yes.
Listen, she's making some choices. Are they a little off? Yeah. But I appreciated the effort. She's trying to get something done out
that
there.
That scene was deadly.
Yeah.
I think you're right, though, Jason. It's like we don't cut her the same excuse, which is he's Neil Diamond. He doesn't do this. We're not cutting her. But she's...
Well, I actually thought, though, that she... I found it amazing that she had no career aspirations of her own. I mean, she's functioning sort of as his manager, but doesn't ask for any money,
She also gets fired. Isn't she also fired?
She's fired from the Mr. Lennox guy, right?
From the Billy Idol situation.
Billy Idol guy, yes.
He gets himself fired, his band fired,
and
her fired.
But what does she... What was she doing there?
She worked for, like, the producer and the record company.
Everything was going to be first class. She came to the airport with a cardboard sign, which made me go, this doesn't seem first class to me. But then they did get in a pretty cool limo. And they immediately get there. And, I don't even understand why they needed Neil Diamond to come out to the recording session. They had the song. And they're like, you need to figure out the tempo.
They wanted him to rewrite it.
Oh, rewrite
they wanted
it to
him
be
to
faster.
Rewrite the words. But I'm sorry. Yes, it really is. She exists in a world in which she's meant to be. Then she then does become his manager and is trying to help him. But he is thankless. He takes advantage of her entirely.
And I don't feel like she ever got any money for it. So she has to support that baby and her own pregnancy.
He did have a gold record when he went missing. They released an album. She goes, it went gold. He goes, that was a year ago. As if people produce 2 to 3 gold albums a year. He produced a gold. And gold didn't... Is gold the highest? It felt lower.
I think platinum.
Yeah, gold felt like, oh, okay. Like, she's still living on the beach. She seemed to be doing well. I think she should maybe open herself up to other clients.
She did a great job.
She hustled.
She hustled really hard. She got him all the stuff that he got, arguably.
And then what does he do? He abandons his TV appearance. Yet another thing he abandons.
Yeah.
He gets scared. He blames everybody else and he disappears.
And he also, by the way, even I would say it's only because of this movie, but if you were to see this performer come out for the first time, not know any of his songs, he's lethargic on stage.
Yes.
Like when he has his first big show opening for that comedian, which we never see, which was a real bummer for me. I needed to see this comedian,
so
the biggest comedian. He gets out on stage. It's a huge venue, not unlike this, with a harmonica. It's like, wah, wah, wah. Like, that's how you like get the crowd. Like, he also like walks on the stage like, doom dee doom dee doom.
Well, that's the other thing is, always open with a ballad. You know, like, it's an audience that doesn't know you. They're there to see a comedian. Open with a ballad.
He walks out as if like, oh, I gotta perform at this kid's birthday party. Like, he's no energy. No energy.
And again, he's a middle-aged man. He's not a young person. He's a middle-aged man. It looks weird.
And then for his second song, he goes, you guys want to do something we can all sing along with? We don't know your shit, man. Like, we're not familiar. We don't know. We're not going to, like,
and by the
this
way,
one up.
Everybody fucking loves it.
Oh, my gosh.
By the way, when he leaves the recording studio, when he screams at Bubba and then runs out of there, why are there so many cops outside in the parking lot?
Yeah, what was going on in that parking
lot? I don't
know. It looked like there was like a studio security happening out there. And then I wanted to talk about my favorite part of the when he runs out, his hair blowing in the wind as he is driving. Okay, here we go. All right, so this is just, again, a visual moment, but just picture it. Neil Diamond, hair blowing in the wind. This hair was never meant to be blown at all. It's like...
And what's interesting is that this is like
face.
This is rear projection. So they're just... That's a fan, I think, on him. I don't even think that's really them driving.
Yeah, he would not go out to the desert with that hair. But that hair looks like... That hair does not look like... That's not sexy hair either. He should maybe have, like, shot
I
a little
will
bit.
Say this. There is no hair on Neil Diamond, who is arguably covered in hair, that is sexy.
Yeah, he's not like he's not a sex symbol. Which
but the movie treats him like he is. The movie treats him like he has an undeniable sexual charisma.
Here's my question as someone who did not grow up with Neil Diamond. I think he was...
Yeah, like, I think women love Neil Diamond, right? I mean...
Do they?
I think women of a certain age...
I think if you're in your 50s...
Appreciate...
Like, you're probably...
Do we have any older ladies in the house who want to talk about how they're in love with Neil Diamond? No? Okay, cool.
Well, who's his fan base? I mean, if women don't love him and men don't love him,
how did this happen to us?
Yeah, what do we have here? What
if
are
that's
we
what's
looking
going
at?
On, then how did this happen to us? I would not be surprised if this movie was paid for entirely by Neil Diamond. If this was some elaborate fan fiction for him.
Here's
that's the
some
thing
interesting
is also,
facts.
You know, I love 70s clothing on men. I wish men still dressed like that. And yet, I just think overall, like, men have never looked better than they did in the 70s. And yet he...
Are we allowing that?
I had an issue with it. I just sat quietly.
Yep. Because we're all good with that.
I sat quietly knowing that I might be forced to wear something from the 70s.
I feel like Paul, every holiday, every birthday opens up like a Nehru jacket.
I feel like when I see these movies, I can see a man's body. I can see a body and I can appreciate it as a woman. And I can say thank you. You look great.
Thank you for that body.
Thank you for your service. Whereas now,
but
I'm like,
I don't know. But in this?
Well, that's the thing. So yeah, overall, I like a 70s look on men. But in this...
I think you like a 70s look on men who look good in 70s clothes. But you have to realize that the rest of the world was also wearing those idiotic clothes. And they look like Stone Cold disasters.
Okay, fine. But I will say this. Like, I think in general, men who maybe don't always look great in, like, modern times would look better.
So you think everybody who feels like they can't make... modern clothes work, should dress like they're from the
70s. Try it on for size.
Like bell bottoms?
So,
You're into like a man in bell bottoms and like a leather coat that just is tight at the waist.
I appreciate like the color palette, like a lot of
autumnal.
Neutrals. And
it's very autumnal.
It's very like
I will say
burnt
this.
Siennas.
I will, in support of this, I will say,
umber.
Did you guys have the reaction? There is one scene where Bubba crosses the street, and in my head, I was like, dope jacket. Like
he looks fucking great.
There's one scene, yes. He crosses the street in a jacket where I was like, that jacket is so fucking rad.
And
yeah,
it's
except
like,
that everything Neil Diamond's wearing, I'm like,
he looks absurd in.
Yeah. Like blazer over turtleneck? I don't know.
The sequin outfit at the end, though, is pretty amazing.
Oh, God.
Why is he wearing a white scarf?
Oh, because it's like Elvis-y, I feel like, you know?
Oh, gosh.
Here's an interesting fact about the movie. We're going to get into the audience in a second. Interesting fact about this movie. There was two directors. The first director was fired after he shot almost 50 hours of footage that was deemed unusable.
How do we see it?
I would love it if you then said, and that is what was used in the movie.
The woman who played Rivka said she had no idea if her character was married to Neil Diamond's character or not. Scenes were just ad-libbed on the spot without any idea of where they would be placed. And the director refused to speak to anyone. And finally, like, someone had to come down and be like, we gotta stop this. And they stopped the movie. They brought in a new director. The new director had to reshoot everything, much to Laurence Olivier's chagrin, because apparently Laurence Olivier's acting in the 48 hours of unusable footage was never to be seen, like, awful. Like, if you thought he was chewing the scenery in this, they toned it down. and during this time, I guess Laurence Olivier was at a diner, and this is, wait, I gotta read it the right way, because it's a great quote. So Laurence Olivier was having dinner with some friends, and they asked him about the movie, and he said, this piss is shit. But I guess a New York Daily News reporter was sitting next to him and then print that across the paper the next day. So then Laurence Olivier had to come out with a full page ad saying that he didn't mean that this piss was shit. He wrote a 10-page letter apologizing and saying that he was just stressed out. And that
what
was...
What could have been in those 10 pages?
By the way, this piss is shit. Is like the greatest. That's like, I know it's terrible, but I'm not even sure which hole it's exiting. But I know it's definitely waste.
You know, I've also talked to you about Squarespace so much, so why don't I just do the worst rap version of the Squarespace ad. Yo, you ready to start your new business? Make a standout with Squarespace, with beautiful templates created by world-class design. This is not rap. I don't even know what I'm doing. I'm gonna keep on going though. Showcase your work, your blog, publish your content, even sell your products and services and all kinds, just a few clicks. I really don't know what I'm doing at this point because there's no rhyming. I realize I can't rhyme anything with like patch or install or upgrade, but it's easy enough. If you have a question, Squarespace's award-winning 24/7 customer support is there to help. Yo. Oh boy, I'm really embarrassing myself here today. The future is coming. Make it brighter with Squarespace. Head to squarespace.com for a free trial, and when you're ready to launch, use the offer code BONKERS to save 10% off your first purchase of a website or domain. I just did it like an ad for like Jenga from the 90s. That's squarespace.com, offer code BONKERS. I could re-record it. I'm not going to. All right, everybody, now back to our show.
Well, obviously, we've talked about a lot of things. Now it's the time to talk to you guys in the audience. If there are things that we might not
have talked
about.
Oh, and when we get back to this, I want to talk about Molly's boat.
Oh,
There was one thing I found so infuriating, too, that we haven't touched on.
Oh,
but we'll get to it.
Paul, we have like 4 hours.
We have 4 hours.
We have four hours. We're in. Oh, by the way, doors are locked. We're here till dawn. This is a church lock-in, weirdos.
Very much like the movie Lean on Me, based on that principle, we lock our doors at every performance to keep you in here. the movie is called The Jazz Singer. That's not a great title for this movie because he is not a jazz singer. So I'm going to ask for you what your title would this movie should this movie be?
Neil Diamond's Purple Rain.
Ooh, Neil Diamond's Purple Rain. I like that. And your question?
So we didn't touch on when Bubba finds him in the country bar. He says one musician can always find another when he asks how he found him. How did he find him?
Well, clearly asked by someone who's not a musician. Musicians know what's going on. All right, I'm going to go to the back. I'll come back up for here to the front. Okay, let's see what we got. All right, sir, you're on the aisle, so I'll come to you. Your title for the film and your question?
The Very, Very, Very Bad Singer.
Ooh, nice.
I just wanted to know what you all think about the fact that in some circles I've heard Neil Diamond be referred to as the Jewish Elvis.
That is...
Okay, wait, but what circles? Like, that's the real question there is, in some circles, like, is that you? Feels like an agenda trying to push.
I want to back this guy up. I think now that you've said it, I feel like I've heard that too. Have people heard that?
I have heard that.
Okay. Circle. This is our circle. We're in it. That's why he wore the scarf.
I don't like it.
Is he the Jewish Elvis? Would you guys feel like he's the Jewish Elvis?
No.
No, he doesn't have the appeal.
And he's not singing like rock and roll, is he?
Well, he's not even doing, like, Elvis was sexy too, right? That was a big
Elvis
part of Elvis.
There,
by the way,
playing,
there is
like rhythm and blues music,
right?
And Neil Diamond is not.
There is one scene though, I think it's in his final performance, where he does hump the air for a long time.
And not a lot of people know this, but that heir got pregnant.
Oh no.
And then he left for a year.
He was in Laredo. He was in Laredo when it happened.
Do you feel like watching this movie, I had a weird thought, which is like, Neil Diamond is probably the reason the Ramones formed, right?
Like in opposition?
Like the Ramones always said, like, rock and roll had become so self-indulgent and self-congratulatory and long and jammy and bullshit.
No, I feel like that's like Yes and like ELO and like that's what they were talking about.
How much money would you pay to watch the Ramones beat the shit out of Neil Diamond?
All of the money. I feel like Neil Diamond, and maybe I'm wrong, I always equate Neil Diamond with the kind of, the Barry Manilows,
yeah.
The kind of, like, what's that? He wrote Sweet Caroline, exactly.
Of course.
A man did just yell one of the most well-known facts about Neil Diamond at us from the
Thank
crowd.
Thank you. We may not know a lot about him, sir, but we do know that.
But like of that generation of Vegas nightclub acts is what Neil Diamond is to me.
The one thing that you can't take away from Neil Diamond is he wrote all these songs for this movie, which
is pretty impressive. Coming to America is for this movie.
Yes.
I have to say, when I was watching it, my wife came back to the lake house that I was not utilizing, and she walked past me. My wife is a musician, and she's cool, and she walked by and went, ah! And I was like, whoa, what's the matter? And she's like, every time I hear that song, I'm like, there's nothing fucking cool about that song.
Yeah.
I love that this movie ruined your marriage. Thank you, Chris. Thank you for submitting yourself.
Anything for podcasting, bro.
All right, what's your title for the movie and your question?
So I think you just have to be the not jazz singer.
Nice, easy, simple.
So
did you take a photograph of your notes?
So we played this scene earlier, but didn't really get into it. So Laurence Olivier and Neil Diamond are talking about Neil Diamond's mom. And he says, you were playing in the street, and there were the bullets and the bombs and the terrorists. What is he talking about?
I have no idea. I was trying to, like, historically place them, and that... In that conflict, I really don't know where they were.
I mean, is this World War II? Are they in, like, but who are the terrorists in that result? 1967?
In Israel in 67.
Okay, yeah, I'll buy that.
Checks out.
He's not Israeli, though.
I'll buy that. Maybe they lived in Israel, and that's where the terrorists come in. I believe that.
Well, the good news is, did you guys hear that Christopher Nolan is doing the prequel to The Jazz Singer? kind of the same way Ryan Murphy's doing the Nurse Ratched thing for Netflix. This is going to be about his father, the cantor, and going back to
like
really
this.
Understanding
this
it. All right, ma'am, your title, your question.
My title is 1,000 Glittery Shirts.
Nice.
And my question is, after Billy Idol fires them and they have the party after, why are they singing a song about Robert E. Lee?
Yes, that was so weird.
Also, like, let's have a fucking party, banjo. There's like so much banjo at that party.
Yeah. Let me make sure these black friends of mine who helped me so much really know their role as I sing about a Confederate general.
Yeah.
To really underline this.
Fuck.
All right, sir, your title, your question.
The jazz actor?
Nice.
And my question is, did they set the precedent for falling in love montages? Because they put, like, the ham in front of him, and he was like, I can't eat that. And his head on the...
Yeah, the montage in this movie, I think, is the best montage I've ever seen, ever done. I feel like, you know, it's a lot of, like, head shaking. It's a lot of, like, no, yes. I didn't understand that it was ham. Now I get that scene.
They didn't have chemistry.
No, and that's the only scene, I think, where he's wearing the Star of David necklace. Maybe I'm wrong, but it seemed like we really needed that to remember why this ham was going to be a problem.
All right. Ma'am, your title and your question.
The Untitled Neil Diamond Project.
Untitled Neil Diamond Project, great.
And my question is, when she picks him up from the airport, why does she think that all, like, religious-looking people are just interchangeable?
Yeah. She was like, I thought you'd look more religious, and because she thinks first he's, like, a Hasidic Jewish guy, and then she thinks he's a priest, like a Catholic priest. She's like, maybe this is him.
What was Bubba telling her about him?
Like, even if Bubba had been like, oh, he's a cantor in a synagogue, like, is she that out of it that she's like, I guess that means...
I mean, it's also as though there are no Jewish people in Los Angeles.
There isn't.
To be fair, yeah, she works in entertainment in L.A. She hasn't been exposed.
I mean, that's what it seems
that's
like.
True.
By the way, why was he so in awe or questioning a palm tree? Like, that would also mean that he's never seen pictures.
It's... Keep in mind, this movie is not a period piece.
Yeah.
It's 1980.
Like, and you have to understand, Paul, he's 40 years old. He's just a boy. You know, he doesn't have these worldly experiences.
He stops and looks at that palm tree as if it was like a person who is half naked juggling fire. He's like, whoa, wait, whoa, whoa, whoa. What is that? That's an odd moment because you would assume that he maybe saw a movie, right?
Yeah.
Or something. Yes, one more question. Here we go. Yes. Title question.
Diamonds aren't forever.
Nice.
I know, like, they made it a point that between Bubba and Molly, that she had not told him that she was pregnant yet. But then when Bubba finally finds him and he shows him the picture, his level of excitement is just like getting a birthday card. Like, oh, there's a gift card in here. Like, there's not, like, oh, cool.
Yeah, like, he doesn't go like, oh, my God, my wife, yeah.
Well, there's none of that's that not nothing happens to him. He never, nothing happens to him in this movie that gives him an emotional reaction beyond, uh-huh. Like,
information received, got it.
Yeah.
I feel like I wouldn't forgive myself if I just didn't say this out loud. The plot point of there's a pivotal event and is a person going to show up for it or not is a tried and true movie plot device. I have never given less of a shit about one than, is Neil Diamond going to sing songs for Yom Kippur? I've never... It's like, of course he is. There's no reason not to. This guy was like, hey, come do this nice thing for your dad and your community. He's like, yeah, back off, Molly. It's like, he's going to show up.
Yep.
For Yom Kippur. It's not even a big deal. It's like, just go sing the songs, dickhead.
By the way,
am I right in my belief that Neil Diamond and Molly's first sexual encounter begins at a Seder?
It felt
that
like
it goes
that.
From like a it's satyr to like a sexy satyr.
It felt like that was the first. Yeah, it felt like they had satyr, and then.
But like it goes straight into the bone zone.
Yeah, we can take a look.
He's
at
like
it.
Teaching her what it is to go through all the steps of a satyr, and then like fucking happens. Which I've only been to a couple of satyrs, all of which did end in fucking. But I don't know. I don't know if all of them do.
We could take a look at it on the screen here. Yeah, so they're surrounding the candles.
Yeah, they've got the candles. She's got wearing something on her head.
She covers her eyes. They look at each other.
Oh, are you fucking kidding me?
He's now drinking some wine.
Oh, yeah. You want some of this? You want some of this wine? Oh, yeah.
So is this the first time they had sex, you think?
Drink. Oh, yeah.
I didn't remember that he put his finger in her mouth.
Yeah, he dips his thumb in the wine and puts it on her lips. And now they kiss once, and then, ew, she barfs.
He does open his mouth
and then
wide
now
for
is the
kissing.
Sex scene.
Yeah. They're just
by the way, when they crossfade the sex scene, they reverse their positions, which I don't care for blocking-wise.
He reveals a lot of shoulder in this scene.
Oh, and so much chest hair.
It's a really disturbing love
scene. It's so slow. Who kisses, who fucks or kisses this slow? Nobody.
And it's tough, too, because this haircut on women is tough. It's just a tough cut.
Look at how little she wants to touch him. She's holding
Ew,
her
I
hand.
Hate this.
She's
oh
holding
God.
Her hand
Look
above
at that mouth. Look at that mouth.
I
like
hate
above
it.
Above his shoulder.
I hate it.
Look at how uncomfortable. She does not want to touch him. She doesn't want to touch his shoulder.
Love
it's
on
like,
the rocks.
It's like hovering. She's constantly hovering and trying to. This was one of the least sexy sex scenes we've ever seen, and we've seen the lake house.
Another moment I just want to talk about before we get into second opinions is a scene where the father comes to L.A. and he's already gotten a divorce from his wife at this point. They're living together, the wife and the father. She didn't seem to tell him that detail.
Wait, Rivka's still living with dad?
I think so. I mean,
because he doesn't know that they've even separated, so she must be. Again, what happened to Rivka?
Do we think that Papa and Rivka get together?
Stop it right now.
It would have been so nice.
Late at night after a sexy satyr?
I didn't like, there's in one of the earlier scenes when she, when they're in bed together, she does turn to him and say, like very sexily, I think Papa's asleep.
Oh, yeah.
It's uncomfortable.
Yeah, which made me think, is that her Papa too?
Look, in general, I do not like when people refer to their parents as, like, mom and dad. Like, they're not my mom and dad.
Your in-laws, you mean?
No, just, like, if you were to say to me, oh, I spoke to mom the other day, and she said... I mean, people do that.
Oh,
it's disturbing.
Except in this situation, they're basically saying, like, I spoke to daddy the other day. Or I spoke to... Oh, by the way, your mommy called. You should call her back. Make sure you call your mommy back. Like, what... Like, Papa, it's too, I don't like it. I didn't like any of it.
It's also I can sort of understand it if they have children and then he's just Papa, like
totally,
Grandpa,
yes.
You know, whatever, but they don't.
Well, they don't, and they don't even fuck.
No.
They don't even fuck, even though Rivka wants it.
I don't think that they ever consummated that marriage, Rivka and Neil Diamond. I don't think it ever... there is so when
what
father,
about Rivka? That's the T-shirt.
Well, what about Rivka? We
hashtag what about Rivka? Guys, let's put it out there.
It would have been so easy just to show her happy with another man at the end of that Passover.
But I don't think she is, Paul. I think her life has been ruined.
You think? Wait, Paul, what?
That she may have killed herself.
Paul.
I could see her killing herself.
Paul, this is not a 13 Reasons Why podcast.
Why did you say that so quickly?
Did you guys not watch to the end of the credits?
This is a post-credit scene where she's hanging.
Just hanging. Swinging back and forth.
And Papa's like, oh no, Rivka.
Thank you very much.
It's like, credits.
It's like, today! And he puts up his fist and the camera pans to the top of the balcony and she's hanging.
No, because what I did not appreciate about this movie, I bet she did fucking kill herself, because this movie posits a world. I bet she did. What they want us to believe is the reason why we're not supposed to be worried about Rivka is because her dreams and aspirations are so small and her life is so small that she's going to be fine.
Sure, right.
But that's really disturbing. Like, her husband has left her.
Yes.
And her, you know, I don't know if she's fertile anymore. She's also, I don't know what
Rivka,
life has
fertile?
To hold for her.
Yeah, well, the thing is, like, but she's like, she is the embodiment, or meant to be the embodiment of, like, the small town person that he has to leave behind in order to make it in the big city.
Remember, she's from the small town of Manhattan.
Yeah. Yes.
By the way, Neil Diamond gave her a chance. He gave her a chance. He's like, come on out here. She's like, no. He's like, fine.
Let me be very clear.
I can't make it as a singer in New York. New York is a small town. I can't make it there.
Yeah.
I would 100% go out with Rivka, not Molly. Right?
Oh,
I would
marry 100%.
Rivka. I would marry Rivka right now.
I go to Acapulco with Molly.
What?
I go to Acapulco with Molly.
Oh, or Catalina.
I mean, I would go to both.
I mean, by the way, I choose Tommy any day of the week over any of these people.
I get that.
Oh, yeah. The one thing I was going to say was, so when the father comes to the LA home and it's revealed that he has this girlfriend, they play like a Columbo-esque, like CBS 1982 sting. Like, the sting would be like, dun, 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 they're the murderer. But it's like just revealing that he's like with this woman, which us as an audience, we know that. Yeah. Everyone's on the same page. So it's really just a dun, dun, dun for Laurence Olivier. Like, as if he was watching. Like,
as if this whole thing is for his benefit.
Yeah.
Well, now I'm thinking what really must have happened is she must have gone home. If Papa does not know that they've been separated or divorced, then she went home and is just play-acting a life in which she's still married to him.
And that's where the timeline question comes up. Because how long has that been going on for?
And then does Papa go out to California, come home and say,
You've been living here
on my fucking dime for months.
And then he kicks her out, and then she commits suicide.
Well, do you guys have seen the sequel to this, Rivka on the Streets, right?
Rivka on the Rocks. It's not a surprise. It left her for Molly. What else did you guys want? You said you wanted to talk about one thing, right?
I wanted to really make sure that that scene of the will he or won't he show up at the synagogue was the number one thing that I was like, this feels like the most poorly done version of a thing that people do all the time, and I couldn't believe it.
And it was still anticlimactic when he did it, because he did show up, but then it was sort of like, like,
Papa didn't give a shit.
Yeah, no one cared.
Papa looked over his shoulder like, oh, now you grace us with your fucking presence? Fuck you. Like, that was Papa's attitude, you know?
And I thought Papa was too sick to even go to services.
That was so funny, too.
Not that Papa's too sick to attend. His blood pressure's so high that he couldn't possibly sing. I love that. They couldn't even just let him mumble along ceremoniously so that someone in his five generations of Cantor family sang. No, blood pressure too high. He'll fucking drop dead if he sings.
Jason, I would have loved it if everybody was dead at the end of this movie.
Jason, do you have anything else you want to bring up before we talk about
we
second
opinions?
We
talked about the sexy Seder. I wrote multiple times, poor Rivka, in my notes. Legitimate. The party's heavy on banjo. No, I think I'm good.
Oh, I do want to talk about one thing. When Laurence Olivier rips off his shirt and Neil Diamond's like, when you rip a piece of clothes, it means you're dead to him. And then Molly's like, who's dead? Like, me. Like, yeah, do you understand the relationship that just happened? Like she seemed genuinely like...
The one thing that might have been confusing, I've just explained. Everything else should make sense.
Yeah, right.
You know what I mean? Like, the confusing part is the ripping of the clothing.
Right.
Let me explain that. And then she's like, but I'm still confused.
So who's does he want dead? Bubba? Obviously, we had an opinion about this movie, but there are other people out there with a different opinion.
It's
now time for second opinions.
When it began, don't know, I can't remember. Seems like it's always been part of the show. Five-star reviews, for films that don't deserve them. Maybe their browser was just running slow. One, I'd give it one. Maybe two. Definitely not more than three. How about you? Second opinions. You know these jerks must be dumb. Paul feels inclined to be reading these from Amazon. Yeah.
Amazing. Wow. Amazing. Thank you so much.
Wow.
Well done. Wow.
Wow, that was amazing. Well, here's something interesting about this movie.
Is there?
People love it.
Really?
Yes. It's a movie that has 15%.
I feel like this has a lot of five-star reviews from the period of time when grandmas learned how to get on Amazon.
Well, you'll definitely get a little theme of who's writing these reviews. I'm doing it a little bit differently tonight. I'll start off with this one by Annie Lou that was written in 2013. The title is Not Delivery. Ordered it. Paid for it, but never got the download. Did receive a note, item no longer available. Once again, Amazon failed to deliver. And you're opening two new locations in Florida? Will that enable you to fill your orders? 5 stars.
5 stars.
Ooh. 5 stars for an item she did not receive.
And that she's worried about the brick and mortar location for a digital download.
To be fair, if I had never seen this movie, I'd have a totally different opinion on it.
this one is written by Yorkie Mama, who is a top 500 reviewer. And she said...
Wait, what does that mean?
She's, I guess, in the top 500 of Amazon reviewers. I guess she reviews so much.
Vis-a-vis volume, or...
I would imagine.
People might like them?
Well, maybe they have a track record. You know, they're...
You're telling
me... Who's tracking them?
Yorkie Mama has a track record? Here's the thing. If I see a review from Yorkie Mama, I'm probably not going to believe it.
Well, get ready, because she's pretty honest. I was a huge fan when this came out in theaters many, many, many years ago. Okay.
She might be thinking of the first Jazz.
She's like, many, many, many years ago. Okay, I just dated myself. But what the heck? This is
she
one
is
of my...
She is so Yorkie Mama. She couldn't be more Yorkie Mama.
I feel like she's writing this from a room that are like, that there are like 22 Yorkies in. And like the carpeting is just like caked in with Yorkie shit. She's like
hoarder.
She's a Yorkie hoarder.
This is one of my all-time favorite movies. I even used to own the 8-track of this movie's soundtrack. How's that for old? The story is very simple, predictable, and mushy. I am not a chick flick fan by any stretch of the term. In fact, on the contrary, I loathe them. But this is a fabulous musical and story. The acting leaves a little bit to be desired. 5 stars.
I like that there's a little dig at the end.
Yeah.
At the end, there's like, there's a dig.
Oh, 100%. Now this one, huh. I don't normally take them ones that are this long, but this one, and this is the last one, it's just too great. It's from Shaney, AZ, so Shaney, Arizona. And it says, a beautiful depiction of American life that will be important for understanding our history. I love this movie. I saw it for the first time when I was a teenager, and something about it has always been with me. I am now 51, and I have come full circle in my life. The teenage me watching Neil Diamond, who seemed old and intimidating.
He was old.
To the adult me, admiring how impossibly handsome he looks. I have read reviews that suggest the storyline was dated, even in 1980. Well, let me tell you, it's 2017, and the theme of forbidden love is just as poignant now. as it was at any time in humanity's history.
Humanity's history?
Jess, in a sense, is a portent of selfishness we take for granted in current culture. Now, audience would likely perceive the father and the first wife as the selfish ones, standing in the way of a dream. Jess, however, is never unburdened by his choices. His penance on Yom Kippur is needed to begin to right his wrongs. After experiencing a world so unlike the predictable, stable New York City society of his youth, Jess is able to return to what is right as a son and as a father. The scene where Diamond instructs a bar mitzvah candidate singing Chaim Tov brings me tears to my eyes. I cried out loud during the scene when Jess teaches Molly the Shabbat blessings. Neil Diamond has taken quite a lot of criticism over the years for recording Christmas albums and singing racy songs, LOL. Listening to him could be considered a guilty pleasure, depending on what crowd you're with. The crowd that calls him the Jewish Elvis, I would imagine. But my middle-aged self applauds Neil Diamond for being open-minded long before it was necessarily acceptable. I'm sure Neil didn't have to take the role. Instead, he plays the part as though it's autobiographical. He exudes an unshakable, strong Jewishness that is, frankly, timeless. 5 stars.
Wow.
Wow.
Wow. I will say, my manager was here earlier tonight, and yeah. You can vouch that this is true. My manager came to my show and afterwards was like, hey, what movie are you guys doing tonight? And I was like, oh, this crazy remake of The Jazz Singer with Neil Diamond. He was like, are you kidding me? That movie fucking rules. It rules. I was like, you manage my career.
That concerns me.
We're gonna get you in Zany's summer show. You're gonna open for Mr. Zany. It's gonna be the biggest show.
If you didn't fire him on the spot,
no,
you're a fool.
Well, let's go down the line. Jason, would you recommend this movie?
Wowee. Yeah. I'm really struggling here with this one. I did not care for this. This fell into that category of the movies we do where I checked my watch a lot and very little time had passed each time. So yeah. I would say yes. I would say yes, watch it, because obviously if you're listening to this and have not watched it, your interest must be piqued. But be prepared to fast forward, I would say. Don't be afraid to fast forward, because there's a bunch of nonsense, and it's not a good movie, and it's boring, and Neil Diamond's performance is, like, straight-up snooze.
June?
Yeah, I mean, I think this movie is something to see. It is something to lay your eyes upon and sort of witness. Of course, no, it's not a good movie, and it's not enjoyable. But it's something to be like, oh, wow, that happened. Like, that's out there. Okay. So for that, I think I would recommend it. Recommend is too strong a word. I feel like How much did I pay for it?
$7.99.
I mean, Paul and I also, like, haven't combined our finances. Sure. So really, Paul paid for the movie.
We bought it on 2 separate iTunes accounts.
Oh, boy.
So I have it on mine, and you have it on yours.
So I did pay for it separately.
Yes.
Oh, I didn't realize that. Okay, so I paid almost $8 to see it.
And how do you feel about that?
That seems pricey.
Like, I feel like because this is not available for free, right?
No.
It is somewhere.
We'll figure it out. Don't worry, people.
Because I feel like our listenership is in danger of giving this movie a financial bump that could make it seem as though there is increased interest in this movie on a legit level.
Listen, I feel like we should always pay for movies. I'm okay with spending my $8 there.
Of course.
Something came up for me watching this and even talking about it where I am thinking about how few movies there are, or I want to see a film about a man sacrificing his own career and needs and wants for a woman's creative pursuit.
Sure.
I was thinking about it. I'm like, I don't think we've ever really seen that. And his art in this movie is so shitty that it really brought up some anger for me.
Chris?
I'm with you.
I would echo something Jason said right out of the gate, which is I did often pause this movie to see how long it was. The first time I paused it, it was at 3 minutes and 27 seconds. That is true. It was short.
I think I was at 6 or 7
shortly
minutes.
After the opening montage. Yep. With the Statue of Liberty shot, I was like, oh boy, how long? Is it good for a laugh amongst friends? Yeah, if you watch it with your friends, you're going to giggle. Like, are you going to sit there and go, what is going on? Sure. But I would actually say there's some caution in this. If this movie became more widely disseminated, I would say if it fell into the wrong hands, this could actually be used to teach hate. I'd hate to encourage that.
You're There's absolutely right.
Multiple
there.
Groups depicted in this movie.
Terribly.
Who
yeah.
You could grab random clips out of context and. Yes,
this is a dangerous movie. What am I talking about?
Hate
this
groups
is
could
a very
repurpose
dangerous
this
movie.
Footage easily.
This does make me feel like there should be censorship. Like, art should be censored in certain respects.
I'm going to just ask one question. I, of course, think you should definitely watch it. I enjoyed it. It could have been the fact that I flew a red eye, did not sleep on it, and then watched the movie pretty much all in the cab ride from JFK to the hotel, and I was like, yeah! I was on motherfucking board. But so maybe it's a good cure for a red eye. Came home, slept like a baby. It was great.
Can I ask, how many people in the audience have watched this movie?
Hot.
Wow!
Wow!
Now... down. How many of you like are psyched you watched it?
So few. One guy jumped up and started pumping his fists.
That, by the way, yeah. Police, oh, there he is.
That's a middle finger.
This whole thing was a sting just to get you.
I will just adding one more thing before we go. If they were to remake the Jazz Singer again, anybody that you think would
look good in blackface is your question.
Is there anybody you think could pull this off? A charismatic person of now? Like, I mean, my first thought goes to that lead singer of Maroon 5.
Harry Styles.
Oh, Harry Styles. I was going to say, who's a Maroon 5 guy?
Oh, Adam Levine is too old.
Not by this standard.
Too old, but not by Neil Diamond standards. But I mean, like, yes, of course you could make a movie about, like, a young
But Harry Styles is not Jewish enough.
So he has to be a white guy?
Oh, okay.
Well, all right. Well,
I was going to say, let's really switch it up. Get Bruno Mars in there.
Oh, yeah. I like
That's
that.
Interesting.
June, would you? Yeah, you can. I'll let you. I'll take it off. You can do whatever you want, June.
What about?
I mean, I was going to say like a real interesting remake would be like with a Pharrell or something.
Oh, I was going to say a female.
I was going to say flip it, well. Make it a lady, and make it like one of the Haim sisters.
Ooh.
Interesting.
All right, so we got Pharrell, we got Adam Levine, we got Bruno Mars, and one of the Haim sisters.
But at the end of the day, can you recapture the magic without Sir Laurence Olivier?
CGI, just like Rogue One, bring him back. Animate him. Oh my gosh. Well, this has been such a pleasure. Before we go, Chris, I want to say that he has a show on True TV. If you're not watching it, it's one of the best shows on TV. It's called The Chris Gethard Show. It's live every Thursday night at
11 Eastern.
11 Eastern. It's so fun. You've had amazing guests on it. So definitely check this out, and you can watch it. What's the website you can go to watch it?
You can go to all the True TV's websites, apps, all that stuff. And Paul and Jason, you were on the episode that everybody loves. So thank you for being on the show and having me on your show.
I'm not kidding. When I've plugged it many times on this show, it is literally one of my favorite things I've ever done in
Absolutely.
My entire career. Is the episode of the Chris Gethard Show that Paul and I did. I think everybody, if you haven't watched it. It's on YouTube, or are the old ones on YouTube as well?
You can watch that one on YouTube.
It's called One Man's Trash. It's on YouTube.
Great.
It is absolutely one of the most, and I say this fully knowing that I am in it, it is one of the most bizarrely riveting hours of television you will ever watch. And if you want to watch two people torture Chris Gethard, watch that show.
I can also thank you for taking it so easy on me during this production here. Thank you so much.
June? I like that you were nervous beforehand that we were going
to
attack.
I did quietly backstage say to Jason, like, hey, maybe maybe don't go so hard on me tonight. I did have a sad moment. Old friends as well. We're old friends.
Old friends.
June, anything to plug?
No.
All right. There we go.
That's it for the Jazz Singer, but guess what? This is not a bit. We have Where's Rivka merch. That's right. In the Tee Public store. Just go to teepublic.com/stores/HDTGM and you can, I don't know, put it on a mug, a computer, a t-shirt, a hoodie, whatever you want. It's pretty amazing. Plus, right now they have a Black Friday sale, which means it's heavily discounted. We also have a few new shirts in there, like a Jacob's Ladder scenario shirt. And I believe our Dragon Sound shirt is up there too. So definitely check it out. A big thank you to Avril Halley for cutting together all those amazing clips. Our amazing live audience there in New York, but also July Diaz, who cuts all the crappy parts of our live shows out and makes it so great for all you listeners right there. Nate Kiley just killing it every single week with all of the research. Our brand new graphic designer, Kyle Waldron. And if you have anything that you want to add to the discussion, you can give me a call at 619-PAULASK. That's 619-PAUL-ASK. We will play it in our mini episodes, which have been getting great feedback from you guys. And you can leave your comments on our Earwolf message boards. We're going to get all into it next week on our mini episode. And just a little heads up, we have a special disaster artist episode coming your way because Jason, June, and I are in the Disaster Artist. What's that? Oh, just a movie about the making of Tommy Wiseau's The Room, directed by James Franco, who plays Tommy Wiseau. Is your mind blown? Mine is. Check it all out. Big thank you to everybody at Earwolf. You guys put together the show every week. And another big thanks to Kelly Alto, who just pulls the whole ship together. Thank you, everybody. We'll see you next week for our mini episode on The Jazz Singer. 619-PAUL-ASK.
Oh yeah, you're getting a gift pod swag for your mom. You gotta get her some swag at podswag.com. It's all happening and you're gonna say hey, cause they're having a big sale on Black Friday.
30% off, 20% off, 25, all sorts of things that will make you feel alive. It's all happening Black Friday at podswag.com. Gifts for your mother, also your mom.
Holiday season is here and so are savings. Get that swag, yo, it's so amazing. Get it, get it for your mom. Podswag, podswag.com.
This has been an Earwolf production, executive produced by Scott Aukerman, Chris Bannon, and Colin Anderson. For more information and content, visit earwolf.com.
Hey folks, Paul F. Tompkins here, the host of Spontane Nation. Just wanted to let you know that all month for Pride Month, my show Spontane Nation features all LGBTQ improvisers and guests. That's right. Everybody in the room except me, Eben, and our engineer is someone from the LGBTQ community. And this is not what should happen, but I will tell you this, for this month of Pride, Spontane Nation has more LGBT guests than any other podcast on the network. And we're very happy to have these fantastic folks. These are some funny, funny, funny episodes with some really wonderful performers. Please do check it out. Spontane Nation, Mondays from Earwolf.